It always has been. If you're a good athlete and you're heavyweight, you go into the NFL. You don't go into cage fighting. The weight class sucks, and I don't have respect for it. So there, you want the real answer? You just got it.
You just got mad at me.
I am mad. I'm mad about pound for pound. It's not you. It is
infuriating. I didn't ask pound for
to
pound.
Have people sit around and talk about pound for pound. I guess you didn't say pound for pound. You said, is he the greatest of all time?
Ass.
That there's no way to prove it. In my opinion, and I'm an expert on this.
You're a jerk. Glad to have our next guest, two big guests on the show. First, Sargon, and now this man who needs no introduction, but I will give it to him anyway. ChaleSonnen.com, new line of clothing, Chael P. Sonnen. Thanks for being here, sir.
I wouldn't miss it. What's happening, buddy?
That's such BS. You just did miss it.
I wouldn't miss it twice in one day. What's happening, okay, buddy?
Chael is what's, you know, you're a nice guy. You are a nice guy, but you do that stuff where, like, you are tough to pin down.
Yeah, well, let me tell you what happened today. So I double booked. Here's what runs my life. I have a calendar in my iPhone. I'm sure you and many people can relate. And that's what runs my life. When I go to bed at night, I check for the next day, and then I set my alarm. I mean, it controls me. Well, all I had in there was to do Steven Crowder's show. My wife comes in. We have a brand new baby. It's our first. 10 days old.
Congratulations.
And they didn't circumcise him at the hospital, which was a tremendous nuisance. So then we went to his pediatrician. They wouldn't do it. And so we went to a third step to finally get the circumcision done. The point I'm getting at is that was scheduled for the same time I was supposed to be on with you earlier. My wife came in. That's why it wasn't in my calendar. It was in hers, not mine.
So I had to go
do snippy snip.
Yeah, I came
but now
in,
I'm back.
I came in second place to foreskin.
Yes, you did. And it was a rough process, man. I'll tell you, it was a rough. That's what I wanted to do in the hospital. This could have been 10 days behind us.
Wait, what do you mean? You didn't do it in a hospital? Would you take him out of the, you get a moil? What'd you do?
They wouldn't do it in the hospital. They refused. They said they don't do it anymore. So then we went to a pediatrician. They didn't do it and referred us to another place. So it just kept kicking it down the road. But we finally got it. We got it done now.
You don't have any Jews out there in West Lynn?
You know, we do. We don't do the moil process. And I only know about that because of an episode of Seinfeld I caught in the late 1990s. But yes, that joke did not go over my head.
Well, no, I'm just asking. I'm wondering, I mean, you would think wherever there's a Jewish population, there would be some kind of a hospital that provides that service. So I'm not saying you actually have to get a Jew to, you know, perform the service, but I'm saying I wonder if there's just such a minute portion of the population, the hospital is like, hey, we don't have any Jews. We're not going to do it anymore.
You could be right. I actually thought moil was a specific term to a Jewish doctor that does circumcisions. But again, my education
no,
on
it
that
is.
Was Seinfeld.
It
so
is.
So what, I don't know.
I don't know. This got off a weird track. Well, I will say this. I felt very flattered that you reached out to me because you have this clothing line. Otherwise, I never hear from you. So what is it? You have a clothing line, Republican something? Tell us about that.
No, we got a clothing line. You know what? I wasn't even here to push it. Since you brought it up, yes, we have a clothing line. It's at ChaelSonnen.com. It's just some great merchandise. It's for fun. You know, it's tied into a podcast. I have a podcast, and it seems like part of the business model of any podcast is then you have to sell t-shirts that go along with the podcast. So that's really where that came from. But more importantly is you. What do you got going on today? Man, it's a big news day. You know that I'm a Trump guy.
Well, I know.
You know that I've always liked Donald Trump, and I've actually grown a little tired of Donald Trump, politically speaking, because every 4 years he comes out with the same shtick. The only difference this time is instead of saying, I'm thinking about running. I might run. I'd be really great if I did. He's actually saying, no, I'm in.
Yeah, but he didn't file.
And I'm not quite ready to get behind him just because I don't want to look like a fool like I have the last four election cycles.
You were a Herman Cain guy, and that burns you badly.
I was on the Cain train, and I still think Herman would have done a great job, but
yeah.
I think he did make a good decision with – in light of the new evidence that was coming out,
no, but he came
he
back.
Made the right choice to step aside. But I'm pumped about this Trump thing, man. Trump can deal with the debate, and that's what I really am. Screw policy. Policy goes all over the board. You never know what a policy is going to be. You just have a theory on policy. I want to see a good debate, and Trump's going to bring it.
Okay, a couple things. Herman Cain, actually, there was some evidence that came out, I don't know if you saw that, later on down the trail, where it seemed like he might have been in the right, because he came out with it, but it was after the presidential run. I think he just didn't want to put his wife through that at that time. With Trump, we just had an article up at, you got to be going to the site, ladderwithcrowder.com, and for those listening right now, we will have a super extended interview with Chael afterward, where it's exclusive. We posted some things about Donald Trump that you may not know. So here's my thing with Donald Trump. I'm not a huge fan. Let me tell you why.
Okay.
Supported Obama in 08, enthusiastically, has given at least $100,000 to the Clinton, $1,000 to the Clinton Foundation. All we know is it's at least $100,000, under $250,000, backed her in her Senate campaign. Gross abuses of eminent domain in the courts to try and take property from private citizens. What else do we have, Jared? There's a, quite a few things up there. I'm trying to remember. He switched political parties five times since 88, three times since 2001. He's given significantly more to Democrats than Republicans in his political career. And he also supported gun control, abortion, and socialized health care. All of those things. So I go, I don't know if I trust him.
Well, that's a little bit disappointing.
One more thing. Do you know who he wants on his ticket?
No, he's already said.
Oprah Winfrey. Continue.
He had made an off-the-cuff remark about Oprah that isn't actually accurate that he wants her. But I'll tell you this, as far as a flip-flopper goes, I'm one guy that doesn't mind flip-flopping. And let me tell you why. I think that an objective person,
sure,
should be willing to change their opinion when they're confronted with new evidence. And as far as changing party standings, he might need to answer for that. However, the party has changed. I mean, I'm not only a Republican, I'm a conservative. But if you want to get down to it, I'm a Democrat from the 1960s. I mean, today's Democrats try to claim John F. Kennedy all the time. John F. Kennedy was a Democrat, not a liberal.
Right.
The Democratic Party died 50 years ago. Now you just have liberals, and John F. Kennedy was not what a Hillary Clinton or a Barack Obama, no matter how much they want to try to claim him, he was not one of them.
You know, he wasn't, but I bet you if he were still around today, he would have evolved into one of them. I don't think you can be a part of the Democratic platform and not become Ted Kennedy. I don't see
his family did. Yeah, right. His family did.
Yeah, Ted Kennedy, only one who didn't get to nab Marilyn Monroe. Poor guy. You just feel bad for him at the end of the day. Well, listen, I agree with you that someone, when presented with new evidence, should be able to change their mind. But again, if you look at his record, it's mainly due to political expediency. I mean, he's going to go after Hillary Clinton now, and he's criticizing the Clinton Foundation when he's given to them overwhelmingly and consistently. You know, I'm not talking about a one-time thing where, I made a mistake. Changing parties five times. You know, you're for gun control until you're against gun control. And for me, on important issues, and I said this with Mitt Romney, Chael, you need to tell me there's something we call the flash of genius moment. If someone actually claims like some kind of infringement on a trademark for an invention, I don't know. It's a great film, actually, with Greg Kinnear, the guy who invented the intermittent wiper. I don't know if you've seen that film, but it's an actual legal term where they find that when people have they create an invention, almost invariably, there's a moment where someone came up with an idea to the point that in a court they go, how did you come up with this idea? And someone can go, well, with the intermittent wiper, I thought, why can't a wiper work like someone's eye blinks? It's not just blinking at a same set pace like wipers were doing, but blink, pause, blink. That was the moment. That's what won him that court case, like huge settlement from Ford. Same with Mitt Romney when he goes, well, I was pro-abortion and now I'm not pro-abortion. Well, you're already a Mormon. So what's your epiphany? What's your moment? What changed that about you? And if someone can answer it honestly and authentically, yes. If they can't, I think that's pretty telling. And Donald Trump's not answered for any of it. But I could be wrong.
It's a little early. As far as who we donated to, man, I know a lot of big business guys that are straight up Republicans, and they just have to give to the other side. They just have to. Business is big enough in their state, or they're trying to get enough things passed where politics do come in there. That doesn't really disappoint me. I don't know if most people can understand it, but let's hear what he has to say. You know, let's hear what he has to say. He's an interesting guy. He's fun. I'm excited about it. You know, I don't know where he's going to come out. I'm not even saying I'm voting for him. Right now I'm leaning towards Rand Paul. But the point is, I'm happy he's there.
Rand Paul and his dungarees. Someone needs to teach him how to dress, man.
I would agree with that. Rand Paul's done a few disappointing things, but boy, he's got a lot more in the positive column, in my opinion.
I think you're right. I think there's a great field right now. There are a lot of people who would make very good presidents. I think the field narrows quite a bit if you're talking about who could win the election. And I think it's a really severe mistake for people to underestimate Hillary Clinton. Or even someone like Bernie Sanders. We were talking about that. People don't understand, Chael. I mean, you're actually, you know, you're significantly older than me. My producer's laughing. He's like, why are you such a jerk? You are. You're old enough technically to be my father. Did you realize that?
No, I'm 38 years old. How old are you?
27. Yeah, I mean, it'd be pushing it, but I've heard of some teachers who, you know, have the rape problem and the kid, you know, it still happens. So, what I'm saying here is that don't act like you've never heard of the 11 to 12 year old kid who just the teacher takes advantage of him.
We've thrown out Jews and now we're talking.
No, we haven't thrown out Jews. We've referenced Jews. Don't put me there.
No, I meant throughout the term.
Good Lord.
I wasn't making you an anti-Semitic like Jerry Seinfeld's Uncle Leo, but let's just move
Uncle
on.
Leo. All right, well, we're talking about.
I'm older than you. All right.
Okay. Next. The point is, generationally, with you, you still are part of a generation that sees, I mean, socialism as anti-American, right? Socialism is a bad thing. It was something people would throw toward Democrats who maybe weren't even necessarily socialist, right? Because it was a slam. Bernie Sanders is openly socialist because people in my generation don't care. They actually think that's cool. That's a good thing. And that's a monumental shift. And that's where I think some older people are going, oh, they have no chance. Actually, they have a huge chance because of the shift in the cultural perspective of socialism.
Bernie Sanders, well, you said a couple of interesting things there. First off, I don't know who is underestimating Hillary Clinton. I mean, I fully expect her to become our president. I say that begrudgingly, but I fully expect that. We are going to need to have a major a push from somebody. And that's one of the reasons I like Trump so much, is I just think people might gravitate to him, similar as they did to Arnold Schwarzenegger, who was a disastrous governor.
Yes.
But he was very popular and people liked to get behind him. So that's a little bit of my excitement towards Trump. But anybody that's underestimated Hillary, there's no way they mean that. They either don't follow what they're talking about or they just like to say that as a way to hurt her. But she's nearly untouchable. God bless Bernie Sanders for trying. He's got absolutely no shot, but at least he had the courage to jump in there. You know, Elizabeth Warren wants to be president, but she doesn't have the guts to step up and run. That may change, but as of right now, that's the case.
She doesn't have the guts. But she may have
the
balls.
She doesn't have the guts to do it. No.
Chael, we're going to go here to our web exclusive to those listening terrestrially on Wham and our wonderful affiliates. Where can people find this clothing line you have? Because actually it's pretty cool. There's Republican Bad Guy. There's a bunch of different sort of monikers on there. What's the best website?
Yeah, you know, it's a lot of fun. ChaelSonnen.com is where you can go. You'll love it. Go check it out. I don't even want to push these. I'm selling these t-shirts left and right, man.
I just want
to talk politics. I want to talk about Louder with Crowder.
Well, we'll bring you – actually, you don't even realize this yet. You're going to come in and pinch hit when I fill in for Dana nationally next week. Chael P. Sonnen. We'll be right back. Go to louderwithcrowder.com if you want the web-extended interview. Web-exclusive Chael Sonnen, which means you are at louderwithcrowder.com or YouTube. All right. Now that we have that out of the way. So you were talking – what were we talking about? You had to go get headphones and you were yelling at your wife.
You know, we were talking some politics. We got every day. We haven't got into the NAACP girl yet, which is the number one story in the country, oddly.
I want to presuppose something here. And you can tell me if you think I'm way out of line. But I wrote about this at Louder with Crowder. And there was, I think, fatigue, so not a lot of people read it. I believe that transracialism is actually much more reasonable than transgenderism. Let me make my case here, okay? Let's take Caitlyn Jenner. Bruce Jenner wants to become a woman. What is required? Severe hormone replacement therapy, amputating testicles and penis, keeping some skin to invert it and create a fake vagina, which then has to be reopened regularly as a wound so that it doesn't close itself, along with learning the lisp and the psychiatric counseling. And what does this person look like? Very much still a man in a dress. Rachel Dolezal slapped on a spray tan and a Sideshow Bob perm and fooled the NAACP for years. Why is that considered so outlandish when compared to what we've deemed acceptable?
To be fooled on that in their defense, look, if somebody tells me they're black, I don't question it.
No, you can't.
It doesn't matter what – It doesn't matter what my eyes tell me, you know, because you may look at her. And when I looked at her, too, even now, and she's the number one story in news, I'm looking at her going, ah, okay, you know, maybe an eighth or a quarter. I don't see it. But if you say so, it's one of those type deals. I deal with doctors all the time. I've never asked a guy to see his medical certificate. If you tell me you're a doctor, I believe you. And I should have the right. It's the same thing, you know, with the Stolen Valor Act. If a guy tells you he's a Navy SEAL, we're going to believe it.
Well, this is the progressives' version of stolen valor. It's stolen victimhood. They aspire to victim status. That's what the NAACP is, professional victimhood. That's their goal. It's the left's stolen valor.
It's very interesting, though. So she comes out. I saw a guy today. I mean, this is ludicrous if there's some kind of benefit to be gained. Now, I don't think that there is or that she got some kind of rights. I've seen some people that are against her saying, well, she lied to get the job. It's like, well, hold on. Being black is not a requirement for that job, and that's not some superstar high-paying position to start with. I think she just identified as black and put that on the paperwork. But I want to make this point because we're only a few days into this. What are we, 4 or 5 days into this whole thing? I've never seen this. I've never heard of this. I studied sociology in college, man. This was not in the books. This has not been done before. This is a first for me. So the point is we still need a little bit of dialogue. And on first glance, when I see this, I go, you're out of your mind. Your own parents are saying, and this is a quote, that her vision of reality has become distorted. That's a quote from her father.
They can't stand her, though, man, to go to a local news source and out your daughter. That's rough.
Yeah, and you know, they seem like reasonable people. Again, I'm watching a little four-minute clip here, but one of the things that had happened is she has come out publicly and identified another man as her father, who's right, a black man, and her dad wasn't some kind of a deadbeat. Her parents are still together, nuclear family. I think she's got some brothers and sisters in there. So it really hurt them, and I don't know that they lashed out too viciously, but I think they spoke from a place of being hurt. I'm getting off topic here, but this just jumped in my head. Now, she came out today. See, everything was kind of going good for her. She kind of started to take the Bruce Jenner, Caitlyn Jenner dialogue, which is one word, identify. I identify as a black, and that seems to be a real soft spot socially with people. If you go, well, this is how I identify. There was a guy that came on Fox News today, a black guy, and he said, listen, she's a liar. However, I accept her as black. And everybody's going, okay, wait, what do you mean there? And this is what he said. And again, see, we're getting into philosophy. That's what this whole thing is. This isn't psychological sociology. This is philosophy. And what he said was, she didn't say she was African-American. She said she was black. As I see it, black is a culture. Black is a state of mind. If she wants to be black, go ahead. Now, I don't know that I subscribe to that. But up to 3 hours ago, I had never even considered that. So it's going to be interesting how all of this plays out. You know, you can change your religion. We get that. You can change your political party. They're letting you change your name. You can change your sex, which biology itself tells you is not true.
But you can't. So many people. I don't know. You can't. You can't change your sex. That's why they say gender.
No, you're absolutely right. People believe that it's penis versus vagina. That's not true. Biology says it's testes versus ovaries, and there is no process to switch or add or remove one of those. So according to biology, which liberals love to turn to, you can't do it. Yeah. But the laws say that you can. So the question is going to become, look, in the next 4, 5, 10 years, is this going to be the new thing? Are people going to go around and select their race? To me, that sounds insane. But I also have a broad scope of the way America likes to work. I think the answer is yes, Stephen. I think you're going to be able to pick your race.
You kind of sidestepped what I was saying, though, about don't you think it's more reasonable than picking your sex? It's a lot easier. You slap on a tan. The differences between people as far as races are generally pretty cosmetic. And you're going to get some racists now. Like, they have the IQ problem, the lack of femurs. You're going to get some idiots like that. Generally speaking, I believe that a black mommy can do anything a white mommy can do. I don't believe a woman who sutured up her vagina and said, let me put on something that I bought down at the sex shop here in its place can do everything a daddy can do. I generally believe that if you're going to talk about something being a societal construct, race would be much more a product of that, or certainly the culture of specific races, than one's actual sex.
I would not disagree with you. It's as simple as checking a box when it comes to race, the gender issue or the sex issue. Yeah, you're right. It's far more complicated. The whole thing is complicated, man. I don't know where it came from. I'm trying to be more open. I'm a farm guy from out here in Oregon. I got to open my eyes a little bit. I got to watch the news and read about this stuff.
No, you have to open your eyes.
My neighborhood. I can't walk around my neighborhood and see it. You know, I'm very ignorant on some of these topics because we don't deal with it. But, yeah, you know, we used to be a little more accepting of who we were, and we didn't always like it. I can't be a 6'5 basketball player. I just can't do it. I also can't be a 5'6 woman. I just can't do it. It's just not in the cards for me. And there used to be something where we taught the kids to, you know, have pride in who you are, play with the hand you were dealt, and celebrate it. And now, nah, listen, change teams whenever you want. I don't really get that concept. At the same time, I don't know who they're hurting. The libertarian side of me goes, well, listen, if there's no victim, there's no crime. I mean, if she wants to say she's black, she's not doing it for monetary gain.
She is. She did.
I'll chalk her up to being a weirdo. I think it's a weird thing to do, but I don't know if being weird is bad. Wanting to go to the moon is a weird concept. Somebody wanted to do it, so God bless them. I don't get it. Go to the moon. Jump out of an airplane. I don't get it, but go ahead. It's weird.
Yeah, it's weird, but I will say that I do think the ultimate complete elimination of gender lines of biology, I mean, that's a construct of third wave feminism. We've talked about that before. And it, generally speaking, it was initially aimed at destroying masculinity, at what they believe to be patriarchy. And now we're at a point where it's sort of a dichotomy of the left because they've had to be accepting of everyone to increase their ranks. And you have feminists going, well, hold on a second. You've benefited from patriarchy your whole life, and now you're going to have a cosmetic procedure flip and benefit from being a protected class, either a woman or in this case, you know, being black. Yeah, like you said, you know, play with the hand that you're dealt. Now kids want to play with the nether regions that somebody else was dealt, and that's the big problem. And I think, listen, do you want to, who does it hurt? Here's the thing. I don't have a problem with someone wanting to play dress up. I don't have a problem with someone wanting to go and call themselves a man. Fine. I have a problem with someone telling me that it's hate speech to not recognize their delusion. Where if I was told that if I used a mask, we had a person on this show, very nice person, JJ, man to woman. I had this person's picture in front of me, and I accidentally said he, used a masculine pronoun. It wasn't designed to be hateful. It looks like a man in a wig. And I'm told, well, by my producer, Fundip, who, thank God, isn't on here right now. He's lovable, but he completely disagrees on this issue. Well, it's hate speech if you're not using the pronouns they want. You can live how you want. But forcing me or society to recognize that delusion as reality, that does hurt people. That is unhealthy. And then everything becomes subjective. That's just my opinion.
I think you make a very fair point. I think that's a strong line that they can do what they want, but they shouldn't force you to recognize their delusion. I may steal that. I think that's a good, solid argument. The whole thing's being constructed, though, right now. I mean,
you like stealing lines.
Yeah, I'm as open this as anybody. There has to be debate on this topic, Stephen, because, again, this is a brand new concept, man. I've never heard of this, and I have a degree in this. And this is what we studied in college. This specific idea never even came up until Friday of last week. So let's have a little debate, and I think that your talking points are as good as any.
Why are your pictures so crooked in the background? It's like going to a Lebanese restaurant where the pictures are never quite level. Do you have an app for that?
Are they crooked or is that the camera angle? I don't know. I've literally never turned around and stared at that. I think that's the camera angle. I think, or maybe my wall's crooked. I think the pictures are straight.
No, they're not. They're not straight. It's like a Tim Burton film and it's distracting and you should be ashamed of yourself.
Who are you going to believe, me or your lion eyes?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So you still lifting heavy now? I know you're not fighting. What are you doing to stay in shape these days?
Yeah, I've been training a lot of, or practicing, I should, because there's a big difference in training and practicing. I've been practicing a lot lately, grappling stuff. I did a match in Metamoris.
Yeah, I watched it against Babalu.
Yeah, Babalu, thank you. I had a lot of fun, and I was going to do Abu Dhabi, and that didn't work out. I actually just got removed myself from that bracket. So, but I've been doing some grappling stuff, trying to stay a little bit fit, but that's where that stands.
And you put the gi on at all when you train these days or no?
Yeah. Yeah, we train with the gi. I'm at a Gracie Baja gym. It's very traditional. So, yeah, man, we do the gis and the belts and the whole bit.
Do you like it?
Yeah, I like it. I don't love it. Yeah. Yeah, when I close my eyes at night, you know, I imagine being an MMA fighter. And gi jiu-jitsu is its own sport. It's a totally separate sport, and it's not exactly what I fantasize about being. But I do like it. It's you know, it's a great sport, but at 38 years old, it's just not one that I'm totally devoted to learning.
Yeah, that makes sense. It's pretty technical, and it slows the pace down quite a bit. I mean, right. You know, we have people at our gym, at Guy Mesker's gym, who are national champion wrestlers, and you know, you put the gi on them, and I can handle it. Or my 54-year-old father can. He, tremendous judo. Take the gi off, it's a whole different game. The grips can. That's one thing too. I don't know if you want to. You just want to talk politics, but see, I always talk politics, so I want to talk the fight game. People don't understand this, and you can just tell me to shut up. But the Anderson Silva fight, Anderson Silva 2, let me say this for a second, because you were so gracious in it, I'm not going to be. The short grab, when I counted it in like a replay, it was like 40-something seconds. It wasn't a quick grab. Now, my father was a hockey player at U of M. My father is jiu-jitsu in the gi. Like I've just told you, we can see the exact difference between gi and no gi. It's the difference in being taken down at will by an NCAA wrestler or being able to stuff it completely. When he was grabbing onto your shorts, that completely negates your hip movement and gives him a gross advantage. Why does that bother you at all? Is it just me? I know you said you would have taken it if you had it, but don't you think that affected that outcome there? I mean, that must have been very frustrating to you going, oh, I'm going to do this movement and you're not able to do it because someone is hooked onto your shorts like super glue. And that'll let it go.
No, it's okay. Yeah, it definitely did. I still remember he grabbed my shorts and he threw a punch, and I remember I still can see that hand coming across my face, and I remember thinking, oh God, I'm glad that didn't land.
Right.
And yeah, you know, it was a dirty, dirty move, and I completely respect it, and I would have done it to him had I thought of it. I've never thought of it. I've never seen it. And, you know, that is Anderson's move. When Anderson's in a fight that he feels he's not going to win, he will cheat for the reason being he doesn't view a disqualification as a loss. In fact, at the time of that fight, his previous loss, he had to go way back. It was Yushin Okami, and it was a disqualification. These aren't sour grapes, man. I'm not knocking the guy in the least. I'm just answering your question. Yeah, it was a dirty, filthy, gangster move that I wish I would have thought of and done to him.
All right, that's fair. I know you want to talk about the politics stuff. I will say
I would have landed the punch. He would have slipped out of the way like old Chael did.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that changes the whole thing. You know, Stu Grimson was a friend of ours in hockey. I think we talked about this a long time ago when you were on a show I was sub-hosting. And his whole thing was he was about 6'5", 245, which in the 90s was huge in hockey. His thing was getting your jersey, holding you out so you couldn't hit him, and all he had to do was get the timing right where he pulled you in and threw that right. And, you know, that's what creates that impact, right? Is that locomotion, two things going in the same direction. And that was his move. That's what he did. So when
an effective move.
It's an effective move. And he was crazy, too. He was actually a born-again Christian who did all kinds of ministry work, and they called him the Grim Reaper. And he hated it. Hated being called the Grim Reaper. All right. So sorry. I'm talking about the Anderson Silva thing. Here's one thing I will ask you. And we'll go back to politics, but since I have you and we're doing the online thing.
Ask away, man.
Why is MMA training, strength training, so crappy? Why do you guys allow so many charlatans into strength training in MMA? Guys putting on their gas masks and running in reverse on a treadmill. It doesn't work. It's not effective. I've trained with many professional MMA fighters. Staggeringly weak, Chael. You know that. The MMA fighters are great at MMA. They're not very strong, and they continually live in this fantasy. We had Coach Ripto on here. You know, Guy Mesker is actually very smart when it comes to strength training. Is it the CrossFit BS permeating it? I'm sorry, you may disagree with me, but it boggles the mind.
Yeah, no, you're right. And there are a lot of charlatans in every industry, and they've infiltrated MMA more so than others. But here's the rule in boxing. The question in boxing is, will weight training hurt you or will it really hurt you? It's definitely one of those evils in boxing. Now, the difference there is they are 100% speed. You've got to get to the target, and that muscle can slow you down. In grappling, which in MMA is allowed, strength can really help you, but you got to start in the striking realm. So there's a really fine balance. Let's start with that. Now, secondly, as far as strength training goes, the more complicated you can talk, the more circles you can drive somebody in and just confuse them, the more likely you are to get the job. MMA fighters love it when a trainer comes in and starts talking about biomechanics and physiology and becoming a better athlete and short twitch muscles, fibers, all of this stuff. I mean, we see the same scam going on with diets, all the way on the government level. I mean, they're banning trans fats now.
And we have trans fats because they wanted to ban saturated fats, so we used hydrogenated vegetable oils, which are higher in trans fats, and they're like, ah, saturated fat wasn't bad for you. I'm sorry, it's the BS.
You can't get two nutritionalists to agree. You can't go get it. You can't do it. As far as nutrition goes, man, people do not understand it in the least. There used to be a carb push, now it's an anti-carb push, a protein push, fat. I mean, it's ridiculous what people say with diet. It's as simple as this. Burn more calories than you take in, you'll lose weight. Take in more calories than you burn, and you'll gain weight. It doesn't matter if you're eating saturated fats or all. It's all crap. But the more you can confuse people, the more likely you are to get somebody to just throw their hands up and go, okay, let's do it your way. You sound like you know what you're talking about. You don't.
Right. Yeah, well, I will say this, though, with strength training, every other people talk about A-level athletes, right? And yeah, that's the knock against UFC. Well, there's not enough money in it yet, so you don't get the A-level athletes. Well, the reason you have A-level athletes is because hockey, football, any of those sports that are contact sports, they all train the same way. Heavy compound lifts with periodized progression. MMA trainers do not do that. And Mark Ripto, who's not an MMA guy, but is brilliant in the realm of action. I mean, he wrote Starting Strength. We talked about that. And I even disagreed with him on some things, saying, hey, you know, there's a life budget. You can only, I mean, when you're doing two-a-days and you're doing grappling, it's very hard in the body. You can't do a full-on powerlifting routine. And I ask this because I was just watching a video yesterday. I won't name names, but it's a guy who I'm sure you know who's a trainer who was actually teaching a guy who's pretty successful in USC in one of the lighter weight classes who's known for his knockout power. And he was actually saying in the video, we actually basically want to remove the legs from the equation. A lot of people think you drive with your hips into a punch. I actually want him to torque his spine and keep his feet flat. This is an MMA trainer. I'm watching it going, how do you guys let these people in? Can you just beat a few up? I mean, can you do that for us? Can you fix this, Jill?
It's very tough. You know, it's pretty easy to break into MMA. It's not the smartest guys in the world. There's no union keeping you out. There's no teams keeping you out. Every guy has his choice of who he brings in. You know, if you go get drafted to the Philadelphia Eagles, they have a staff in place, and that's who's going to become your coaches. And these guys are vetted, and they're professionals, and they're very good. As far as MMA goes, everybody has the right to go out and grab their own guys in their own corner, man. And duping an MMA guy isn't super hard. And the bottom line, Steven, is nobody truly knows. You know, the way we do it in America, even on an NCAA level, the Russians will come over, and the Russians are master of amateur sport. The Russians will come over and say, you guys are doing it all wrong. This isn't how we train, and we win more gold medals than anybody. So it's really hard to get people to agree. You know, you go out there, you work hard, you show up on Saturday night, and you hope it pays off. A lot of that is the truth in sport. There is no perfect science. I mean, if I could take my kid, there's no recipe that if he follows the recipe exactly, he's going to come out with chocolate chip cookies. It doesn't work that way. And people are different. And some guys do more with less. Some guys, the harder you train them, it just grinds them down. I see that happen all the time. My dad was a horseman, and he had this trainer come to him and say, you have to claim this horse. His name is Sunvest. I'm the only guy that knows how to train him. And my dad said, well, why? What do you know about him? He said, this horse doesn't want to work. You wake him up in the morning, you walk him around the track, and when Saturday comes around, he'll beat everybody. And so my dad claimed him, and that horse won 5 straight races and then had a photo finish for second place and then won 3 more straight races, which set and still holds a record out here at Portland Meadows. The point is, there are human athletes that are the same way. They don't want to train. Robbie Lawler doesn't train. People talk about it all the time. He doesn't train very hard, and he doesn't warm up before fights. He kind of stretches out, then he walks to the octagon. That is generally a recipe for disaster.
I heard
it,
he was training so hard now in, where is he, in Florida?
He's in Florida now, yeah, and I don't know how he's training out there, but when he was out at Miletich, that's what guys would say about him, and it wasn't a knock. You know, Pat Miletich just said, look, you got to just kind of let him in, move around a little bit. He'll do that for a few months. He'll walk out there. He'll be fine. And he was.
Yeah. No, that's true. Well, I think you said the same thing about John Jones. He doesn't train a whole bunch, and he's just an ungodly talent.
He was born with that, though. Yeah, he's got different genetics. You know, Robbie Lawler's kind of just a regular guy, and this is just how his approach to fighting. John Jones is a truly gifted athlete.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. But I will, so the one thing I will argue, everyone can control getting stronger, and we do know the science behind it. And you know you have a wrestling background. What do they have you doing? Squats, deadlifts, presses, right? Cleans?
Yeah, we do a lot of that. But it still comes, I don't disagree with what you're saying, but it does come back to the debate of, do you want to get stronger?
Yes.
Generally, people have accepted bigger, stronger, faster is better, and we've been taught otherwise. I mean, Mike Tyson in his prime was 220 pounds. He was the smallest heavyweight there was. He was the heavyweight champion. Muhammad Ali in his prime was 198 pounds, and he was the world's heavyweight champion. So the reality is the smaller, weaker guy generally does better in a fist fight because he doesn't have to carry that weight around. That's contrary to most people's logic. But the facts are the facts.
I'm going to disagree with you there. And this is how, okay, it's healthy. Mike Tyson was insanely strong, juiced to the gills. No one even doubts it. He just came out recently and said, I would have done more drugs if I could have done the better drugs. It's like saying taking John Jones, saying he doesn't train.
Wait, who was that? Who did that? Mike Tyson did that?
Yeah, they said, what would you have done differently? He said, I would have taken more drugs.
I did not know that.
Now, I'm extrapolating, but if he's saying I would have taken more drugs, it leads one to believe that there were some initial drugs to begin with.
Sure.
That was
never within question. You could take one look at him, but I mean, the rules were different back then, but I didn't know he came out and admitted it. Nobody comes out and admits it if they're not caught. So good for Mike.
Well, I don't think he just said he would have taken more drugs. And I think he went on, it was more so a commentary on the designer steroids that are available today. But you can't take an extreme example like John Jones and go like, I had one guy when I was in grappling class. And I said, guy was just – and the first thing, right, if you win, Chael, you know this, is if you're a pretty big guy, you're middleweight, but you walk around, what, 235? They say, gosh, you're really strong, as though it couldn't be technique. You know, about 2 1/4. I'm not huge. The guy goes, well, what should I do? And I said, well, listen, you're about 135 pounds. I said, the first thing you need to do is get stronger. Good for you. You can beat people in 135 pounds. A really strong woman could kick your ass. So if your goal is doing this to actually be able to defend yourself versus win a competition on points, she gets stronger. Another guy goes, oh, Chael Terra, he doesn't strength train. Marcelo Garcia, you know, people who I know or I've rolled with, I'm going, they're the best in the world. Still in a bantamweight division, you're not him. You probably benefit from getting stronger. And I only say it because it's incredibly frustrating to train in an MMA gym and these guys are just, they don't progress and they reject it. There's this, getting big is going to make me weaker. It's going to make me slower, inflexible. Anyway, that's been driving me nuts. Absolutely nuts, Chael. I'm sorry to burden you with that. Let's go back to politics. So, trannies, what are your opinions on those, Chael? Let's go back to that.
Did you say trannies?
Yeah, I did. It's a hate word,
what?
I know. You don't have to use the word. I did. It's okay.
I don't know if it's a hate word. Maybe it is a hate word. I really don't. Okay.
Every mechanic is guilty of hate.
Here's
speech.
One of the problems that I've never fully understood, you know, what does transgendered mean or transsexual or cross-dresser? But it's very important that you do know the difference because a person can't just throw a dress on and proclaim they're a woman. And society tried to say for a little bit that they could. Oh, that's a woman. They want to be a woman.
Like, no, they still
no,
are.
We have to actually have a rule there because if a guy throws a dress on and then attempts to go into the girls' locker room, we could have a real problem on our hands, and you can't just tell the cops, yeah, that he's in there because, because this is how he identifies. You got to set up some parameters. I dealt with this, and I'm out in Westland, Oregon. Now, Oregon's a very blue and liberal state, but Westland is one of the most conservative parts of the country. I had a math teacher named Mr. Kentz. He was my algebra teacher. 5 years ago, he's still at the high school that I was at. 6 years ago. He returned to the school after summer break as Miss Kentz. He did not give any warning. He just walked through the school door as Miss Kentz. He had
that ironically union, takes balls to do.
Yeah, and the school board, you know, he got the union and everybody backed him, and he's still in the school right now, but it was very complicated because it comes back to the most simplistic thing of which bathroom do we send him to? We can't send him in there with the girls. If he's a guy, we can't send him in there with the guys with the girl. They didn't know what to do legally. They still don't know. They had to close off a bathroom that is now only Miss Kent's, or it's only that person's bathroom. So it is a little bit more complicated. You can't just throw your hands up and go, well, this is how a person feels this day. It's not that simple. And I don't know how girls' locker rooms work, but I can tell you, when I very first joined a health club, I had to be 14 years old. That was the law in Oregon. It was called Nelson's Nautilus, bought out by Gold's Gym. But for the guys, We all showered together. There was a huge shower with all these different water, and you just walked in and showered. Well, the problem that came over time was members that are over 18 years old are adults. Members under 18 years old are minors. So now you have adults and children showering together, which after you got these, the pedophilia rage that went through this country, they had to do away with that. Now, every health club, you have your own shower. So I don't really know how the girls' locker room works, but you get my point.
I like to imagine it's all one big shower.
Yeah, but God wants to throw on a dress. He can't just storm into the bathroom and then come out and go, well, this is how I felt today. No, there has to be rules. And I've never totally understood at what point you go from a cross-dresser to a transgender. But
there you go.
There is a medical step that has to take place to fulfill that legal requirement.
There isn't. That's the issue right now. There isn't. And saying that there is hateful. We did that. I don't know if you saw the video right.
I think there is. Have to be X amount through post-op to actually qualify?
No. You made that up.
Yeah, pull that up. I'm not sure.
That's the thing. I don't know if you saw the video where I dressed up as a woman and went to Planet Fitness. The reason that was acceptable was because there are people who – I mean, we had J.J. Marie Graffetta on the show. Has a song about wanting to go to the bathroom. Penis. Uses women's bathrooms. It is how do you identify. That's all it is right now. There is no – there's nothing else in place right now other than does this person kind of look like a woman? Okay, they're not checking for papers. There's no law that says you have to have actually gone through any kind of a surgery. There would be no way to enforce that law at all. So that's what it comes down to. Does someone want to say they're a woman? And that's the issue. A lot of women feel very unsafe and very uncomfortable with it. When polled nationally, most women say, I'm not comfortable with it. By the way, they're still getting a split of half the women in this country at least being liberal. So they're not hateful. They're just saying, I don't feel safe with it. There is no way to enforce it. Put on a dress, put on a wig, say you're a woman, and they can be in there showering with Britney.
I'll tell you, let me split off of this off of something that you just said. You were just talking about woman. You were saying that word. I guarantee you, and when people hear me say this, they're going to roll their eyes and think I'm exaggerating. Mark my words. Don't roll your eyes. 1 year from now, you will be afraid to say woman without thinking you are somehow creating a hate speech or offending somebody. And it will solely be done by Hillary Clinton. This is going to be her campaign strategy. It's not a terrible strategy, but she's already laying the groundwork. It's men versus women. If you support women, you support me. If you go against me, you're against women. Yeah. And she's already starting this. And I'm telling you, 1 year from now, man and woman, you're going to your palms are going to sweat if you say it, and you're worried you're going to be fired and outcasted because you're such a bad person. It's going to become hate speech.
I said that. Yeah, I talked about that in September. I said, watch, you're going to have a moment where all of a sudden all of the racist people who oppose Barack Obama in this country are going to become sexist people who oppose Hillary.
For sure.
What was that? Well, Jared is chiming in.
Looks like they're talking about you guys.
Oh, yeah. Have you seen that now? This is my effeminate producer, Jared, who's androgynous.
Not at all.
I pick him up like a suitcase and carry him under my arm.
What up, J-Rod?
What up, Jail?
He's giggling like a schoolgirl. He's also gay. You're off, Jared. Chael, his point was, what was he saying? Something, what was your point? Oh, you guys. Yeah, Vox. Have you seen that? A guy was like, hey, I've really learned now that I shouldn't use the phrase you guys. So the Goonies apparently was a hate speech extravaganza. Have you seen this?
No, I haven't. But it just – the rules do change. You know, when the I was in sixth grade. I was 12 years old. You were 1 year old when the term political correctness came out in this country. That term – political – you never put those two words together. You didn't even know what it meant. I was in the sixth grade when that came out. Janitors started being called maintenance engineers. I mean, everything got changed. But back then, it was always African American if somebody was black. And that carried over to our government. If law enforcement had spotted a black man and was to call it in, they would say African American male, state their height, whatever they're wearing. That has become wrong. The term African American is not correct anymore. It is now black. Because the reason is not all blacks are African. The point I'm getting at is to what you're saying. We used to say you guys, but the rules change over time. I hate it. I don't think it's a good way to live. And I think a person needs to be able to speak freely as long as their intent isn't to hurt somebody, because you keep changing the damn rules on us.
What I always find funny is as you're going through a point, because you tend to speak a lot, you always feel the need to be like, the point I'm getting at is, in other words,
well, don't, you know, sometimes you go in a few different directions. I'm talking about when I'm 12 years old, I got to tie everything together. But it's like, you know, if you cut me off, I'm going to have a few things dangling there. You got to let me finish this thought. But it's true. You know, the rules change. And if some guy now is too afraid to say you guys, there's probably a reason for it. He probably got, whether it was social media or somebody in his family, came down on him, and now he's like, well, I'm not trying to offend you gals.
I think gals is a hate word now. I don't think, what
it
is
it? It will
be. All right.
Wait for a year from now.
J-Rod, who also happens to be gay, is in. What is it, Jared?
Okay.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Not that there's anything wrong with it. No, the best part of the Vox moment is just the suggestions they give you for alternatives, because they feel the need to at least, okay, how do we address this? What do we say? So the suggestions to give are, hey, friends, okay, whatever, hey, folks, hey, everyone, hey, colleagues.
Yeah, hey, everyone.
Hey gang.
Hey, everyone, that's
they put a gang in
hey,
here.
Gang. Hey, yeah, gang, let's use that in Baltimore.
Yeah, and then hey, y'all, which I think is kind of offensive to Southerners, and so.
Well, you know what's funny that I talk about that? All right, you're off, okay, Jared. I think I've talked about this. You talk about y'all. Black Americans. You know, we think there's Black Americans and then, you know, Paula Deen's, you know, white Southern sort of, you know, racists who look like Ursula from Little Mermaid. And when you really think about it, y'all is something that's a commonality almost exclusively in those two cultures. Black Americans tend to share a lot in common with white Southerners as far as food, as far as colloquialisms, as far as cultural backgrounds. And I think it's something that's missed in a lot of people. I mean, who else says y'all unless it's a white person from the South or a Black person? You say y'all, Chael, in West Lynn a lot?
No, I don't. And you're right. I don't think it's a black or white thing. I always thought it was a Southern thing. The first time I ever heard y'all was my friend Sam Ayler had moved here from Texas. And that's how they talked in Texas. And then I had a couple of Oklahoma coaches in college, and they also used y'all. So, yeah, I've always thought it was a Southern Midwest thing. I don't think it's select to a race.
No, I don't, but I'm saying you don't see white people saying it unless they're from the South. But even
sure.
In the Midwest, you will hear black people using the word y'all. I don't know. That's something I found interesting. Sorry, I thought you were sociology.
I've had the same experience. I've had the same experience.
I thought you'd bite on it in sociology. Apparently, I'm just a crappy interviewer. Jill doesn't give a rat's ass. Let me engage.
Well, that's linguistics. You're talking linguistics there, and it's a colloquialism. That's not even in the Merriam-Webster dictionary. So what the heck? I don't know anything about it, y'all.
Well, I don't know. I've listened to your podcast. You talk about a lot of stuff you don't know anything about.
I used to – that's true. I had to ask my buddy Sam in the fourth grade, hey, what is that you're saying, y'all?
Hey, can I ask you something important?
How about it?
What made you go from the hair when it was longer, you know, Silva Son in Era 2, back to like walking into the barber, give me the boys cut number 6?
Yeah, you know what? I was on a trip and I had a barber – I was out of town and he gave me a haircut. And when the haircut ends, he styled it for me. And I thought, wow, that's kind of cool. I've had the same hairdo from the day I was born. It's just, I got a couple of cowlicks, the way it pushes it. I put some hairspray and walk out the door. And I thought, well, that's kind of cool. And I went with it for a little bit. I got a few compliments. And then, you know, one day the cowlicks won over and that was it. I don't have a great story there.
That's okay. That's a pretty good story. Well, because I don't know if you know, people were taking your hairdo and like putting it on other people, like for a Chael meme online. Have you ever seen that? Kind of like the Rashad face?
I haven't seen it, but that's what the kids call Photoshop.
This is what they call Photoshop. Or if you're really poor, MS Paint. Where you just go in and use a little gripper.
Or if you're really poor.
What's your MS Paint? The first time you got that, you're like, I can make a picture.
And I'm not sure that's a qualification, but yes, I do remember MS Paint.
But yeah, if you are poor, aren't you? You're like Mr. Apple, aren't you? Don't you have Apple everything?
I got Apple a few things. Yeah, I love Apple. I'm on a PC right now. But the only problem, I prefer a PC, but they get viruses. You know, Apple's pretty cool. You don't have to deal with that.
Yeah, especially if you're looking up sociology and anything comes up that involves transgender, you can bet there are going to be some sites bringing you some viruses.
That's right.
I remember when I was there out in West Lynn. Sorry, we'll wrap this up. I guess you have other things to do. But with the online thing, there's no time limit. I remember when I was in West Lynn, I was out there. And you were very, very nice, actually, when you hosted me out there. You didn't even have anything resembling a smartphone. As a matter of fact, you took it as a badge of honor to not get one What changed? Because about 3 months after that, you got one.
I had the flip phone. You're bringing back good memories. I had a flip phone from Sprint, and it was called the T8300. Sprint quit making it. So when the phone would fall in water or get old or break or whatever, when I would go to Sprint, they would no longer replace it for me. And it was such a learning curve for me that I didn't want to do. So I went on eBay. I bought every T8300 I could find. So I had a whole box. So I think there was like 9 or 11 phones, and they were less than $20 a piece. So I saved them for years, and Sprint would transfer my phone books back and forth as long as I brought them the device. And then one day I broke down. I got an Apple phone. I didn't think I would like it. I loved it. I could do everything all in one. I didn't need to sit in an office. I could send email. I could do the whole bit. And, man, it won me over quick. I like it. Yeah, Bill, what's his name? Steve Jobs changed the world, man. He did a great job.
Yeah.
He did something very rare. You know, he left the world a better place than he found it. It's a very rare thing to do.
Except his family. Kind of treated them like crap.
Sorry, I'll tell you what. He had a rough upbringing, though. You know the story on his father. He had never met his father. And his father was a restaurateur in Silicon Valley, and Steve Jobs used to go eat there. And so one day his sister came to him and said, hey, I want to find mom. And so he said, okay, let's go find mom. So they went and found their mom, and then she said, I want to find dad. And he's like, I'm out. I want nothing to do with dad. He had a resentment towards that. So she went and found him. Well, it turned out he owned the restaurant that they used to eat at together, and the dad didn't know Steve was his kid. Steve didn't know the guy, and Steve died, and the sister kept the secret. She told Steve, I'm going to find him, but I'll never reveal him to you or you to him, and she kept her word even though they would go eat there. And then after he died, she went back and told the owner, hey, by the way, that was your son.
All I was thinking about was what a terrible job Ashton Kutcher did in that film. That was just awful. I listened to very little of what you just said, Chael.
I have ADD too, man, and I respect it when somebody could admit it. So no problem there.
Is this too personal? Have you ever taken medication for ADD?
Yes, I took something called Concerta, which is time released Ritalin. And if I would have had that in college, I would be a lawyer right now for sure. It worked. I discovered it years too late, the new popular one that the kids use is Adderall, which as I understand is basically the same thing. I've never tried it. I had concerns.
No, it's not. It's, I know quite a bit about that. There's Adderall is basically, it's basically amphetamines. It'd be like speed, whereas Ritalin, those would be more similar to cocaine, and that they more so affect dopamine reuptake as opposed to overall dopamine in the brain. That makes a big difference. I was thinking about it because I remember you mentioned those substances quite a bit when you're talking about what are banned substances, but substances that are completely legal and as a matter of fact encouraged by physicians for many people. But, I mean, Ritalin, I know Adderall is, Ritalin would have to be on that list, right? With the, state athletic commissions.
They're absolutely banned. I've had teammates before. Ryan Jensen comes to mind. They canceled a fight of his. He didn't test positive for it. He disclosed it ahead of time, so they just canceled his fight, which was an upstanding move by the Oklahoma Commission. Most commissions would take your license and ban you. They said, hey, listen, you got this in your system. Let's just not do the fight. That way there's no violation. But, they've changed the dialogue to performance-enhancing drug. And if you take a step back and go, now, wait a minute, that's a good thing. Performance-enhancing? That's a good thing. The stuff we teach kids to stay off of is the stuff that brings you down, the stuff that'll overdose you, kill you, alter your state of mind.
Yeah.
The FDA and the DEA all say this stuff is fair game. Local law enforcement says it's fair game, but then you have an athletic commission that steps in and says no. So you got to follow that rule, but I do think it's a little underhanded that you're saying, wait a minute, I have to choose between my sport and my health at times. There's times when I go to my doctor and I have to cross-reference that with an athletic commission that meets twice a year. How do I even get an answer from you guys? How do I not start this regimen? So, you know, there's some guys that have ended up in some trouble there, and I felt bad for them, and there's going to be some more guys. The rules are very sensitive to that, and my encouragement to athletes would just simply be make sure you learn them.
Do you think we're going to see athletes shrinking quite a bit now as these more stringent rules and testing come in?
Yeah, they'll definitely look different. The look will change. That's something that will happen right away. And that, you know, I guess it's for the best. You know, I came from a different era. The rules were different. What we cared about, the way that it was all a little bit different. So My mindset is still kind of stuck back when I started on it, but yes, it will change the way guys look. You're already seeing that.
Yeah, you absolutely are. And what's funny is I find some of the most vocal opponents of steroids are the ones where I'm going, really? You're the one who's – and by the way, I'm not saying Georges St-Pierre. That man is a national treasure. Don't even think about it. But there are people out there, shall I say, in the middleweight division who protest too much.
I will tell you that that is part of that life. If you ever live that life and you're taking it, part of that life is doing this, is pointing to everybody else. And so, you know, what's the old expression? When one finger points away, you got three more pointed back at you. It's a true story. You're right. Your suspicions are right. It is part of that life. It's a slimy thing, man. It's a dirty, slimy thing. If they can truly clean this sport up, all sport and whatever, it really will be for the best. You're just going to have some growing pains in between.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. The thing that bothers me, too, are people are disingenuous on either side who go like, well, it doesn't do the work for you. Every single study, every single one that we have on steroids, in people who are completely stagnant, people who live entirely sedentary lifestyles, put on muscle, put on size. It's not – listen, you're not going to be the best fighter in the world if you don't train. But it's one of those things. I mean, my dad talks about it. You know, my dad is he's 54 years old now. He's still about 225, and he knows people who are doing this stuff. He's going, do you realize that if I were on this, I'm 240 and leaner by, let's say right now, July 30th? I mean, the kind of really the severe steroids. And you're not just talking about testosterone replacement therapy or bringing you to normal levels, but the kind of stuff that's abused, you know, or Vitor Belfort levels. It's so dramatic. And, you know, in training with people, I'm obviously not a professional athlete. I don't claim to be. But you can see the difference where they come in 2 months, you're rolling with someone, you're going like, okay, this is a very serious difference in a very short amount of time. And I've trained my whole life. I've maxed out my natural capacity and strength, you know, to the point where there's diminishing returns. You might gain a few pounds on a squat over the next month or two. And they just come in and they're superhuman. It is such a big difference. I just can't imagine being in a sport where some people aren't doing it and some people are.
That's been my experience too. When you're talking specifically about steroids or anabolics, that yes, they all, no matter which one, they will put on size. And not all medications do that, of course. Right. But for steroids specifically, there's none I've ever read about, seen, known people that were never. That wasn't the very first thing it did. Bigger. And then you go from there. Bigger, stronger, faster, hair loss, acne, whatever it is. Bigger is always the very first thing.
Yeah,
when it comes to steroids, from my experience.
Well, stronger, too. Stronger is noticeably feeling that strength. That is sick, because we've had people come in. I'm going like, gosh. And, you know, I mean, I think it's tempting for anyone at some point. And I understand why fighters would do it. I talk about that. You know, I've talked about it with other people on here. Miletic, I'm like, listen, if your life depends on it, and you think the other guy is, and it's a vicious cycle. So I wonder how much they can do about it right now. Anyway, sorry, we won't go into that topic. Okay, a little bit of drama here. You went after Joe Rogan on Twitter. What's the deal, Chio?
I went after Joe Rogan on Twitter. Joe Rogan asked Cain Velasquez. Now, Joe's a very good friend. He's also got a tremendous sense of humor, and it was said in that way. But he asked Cain Velasquez to repeat himself. Cain, do you know how hard it is to do an interview after you fight? It should be almost
impossible.
Especially
if you're Cain Velasquez.
Right. I mean, if you went out there and you fought as hard as you can, which is what a fight is, you don't have any oxygen left. And Cain had given an answer, and Cain's not a great interview to start with. And Joe asked him, will you repeat that? So I gave Joe a hard time about asking Cain to repeat that. It's like, hey, Joe, there's a reason you can't understand him. It's because he's exhausted and just got beat up. At some point during a show, you got to fade to black and roll the credits, man. The talent just needs to get in the back, lay down, and recover.
Or I should have asked Fabricio, because he speaks Spanish a hell of a lot better than Cain Velasquez. Were you surprised?
That's a tough dude right there, man. Fabricio Verdum. I did not know he was as good as he is.
Were you surprised with the result of that fight? I know you
were shocked.
Fan. Yeah.
I was absolutely shocked. I did not think Verdum could hold up against Cain. And not only did he hold up, he broke Cain mentally. Yeah, that submission was there, but if it wasn't a guillotine, it would have been an armbar. It would have been rear. Cain was just ready to be done. There was 100 different things you could have finished that fight with at that point. That's the whole point of fighting, is making the other guy quit. It's not to land a jab and land a kick. It's your will against his, and Cain always wins that battle 100% of the time in his career. Until last Saturday, he has won that battle, and Verdum doesn't always win it. So it was really a big surprise to see Verdum out-push Kane.
Let me ask you this. I'm trying to think here real quick. Verdum, do you think there's a point that can really happen with athletes where they just turn a corner and they get into a rhythm where they can literally become an entirely different athlete than they were, say, 3 or 4 years? Or do you believe you tend to be the same throughout your career?
No, you can definitely. There is a day where the switch flips, for sure. Usually it happens around 15 or 16 years old. Every now and then a guy will get a resurgence in college. More and more we're seeing guys in the latter part of their career. I mean, we just saw Daniel Cormier win a world title. Robbie Lawler is the fighter of the year without question. I think he's over 35 years of age, maybe closer to 36 or 37. So we're seeing that Verdum's either 37 or 38. 37. We're seeing some of these guys, flip that switch a little bit later. Randy Couture didn't even start the sport till 36. It's very rare. You know, that handful of people I just threw out is probably about it. But that is the way it works. One day, you just wake up and you can play. Now, to get there, you have to put all the work in. You had to sacrifice and dedicate and do all of that. But one day, you will just wake up and be able to score more points than the other guy.
It just happens that way.
It just happens, and it happens overnight.
Do you think with Verdum now – I mean, listen, I don't think there's – what is the most amount of heavyweight title defenses? Is it two? Actually, two consecutively? That's like the curse, right?
Isn't it two consecutive, and I think Randy Couture is the guy that did that.
Well, didn't Tim Sylvia? Or no, he won it.
He may have also done it. I just know that Randy has that record. Now, somebody may have it along with him, but I know that Randy does have it.
No, Sylvia did do it. Yeah, that's right. He won it from Arlovsky, rematched Arlovsky, and then Jeff Munson, if I'm not mistaken.
Could be. Wouldn't disagree. Don't know.
Okay, fine. You could ask Pat. I have a story about rolling with Tim Sylvia, and not a fun one.
I've also had that experience, and you're right. It is not. Tim Sylvia is a monster.
I didn't mean in that realm. I meant something else. Pat can tell you that story. We can have you all on and have a round table. It was actually a very nice guy. I know a lot of people have had run-ins with him, but I think I told you about the accent problem. Did I ever tell you that? So I didn't understand him, and he got mad at me.
Yes.
Were you born in a barn? I was like, what the hell are you talking about?
I think that's Maryland. I think that's an East Coast Maryland accent, Maine. If I remember it. Maine. It's from Maine, yeah.
Do you think there's a case to be made with Verdum now being one of the best, you know, top two or three heavyweights ever? I mean, submitted Fedor, Nogueira, now submitted Kane. Do you think, some people are saying you could argue probably one of the most decorated heavyweights ever. Do you think?
It's interesting. You know, Fedor's a tough one. Fedor fought in Japan, which is highly questionable, to say the least. He came to America where there's commissions and the whole – he went 3-3. And one of those losses was to Dan Henderson, who's tougher than hell, but he is a middleweight. He's two weight classes below him. So the bottom line, Fedor's 3-3. That's not to discredit him, but – that's all the credit he gets. He's 3-3 in sanctioned fights. That's just his record. So, no, I don't think so. The other problem Verdum has is there's two guys on the roster right now that have beat him. You know, he's lost to Overeem, who's still under contract. He's lost to Junior Dos Santos, who's still under contract. This isn't as though he's kicked the can down the road and, you know, outperformed his competition and they're all long gone. These guys are still sitting there. But, you know, Verdum is a very special talent. He's had a major resurgence. He's an incredible fighter. He's just got a little bit more work to do. It's looking as though he's in a good position to get that work done. But no, you know, we have set short-term memories in the fight game. Every time a guy fights, he's the greatest of all time. You know, every time John Jones fights, there's people that think he's going to lose. And then as soon as he wins, we go, oh, okay, nobody will ever be. I'll never question John Jones again. And 5 months later, we're all going, I think he could lose this fight. So it's short-term memories, man, but no. As of right now, Verdum is not even in the conversation for greatest of all time.
Okay. Well, you kind of gave a little bit of a political answer, and then you just stated affirmatively, no, so I appreciate that.
Yeah, well, the whole thing's a debate, though. You have to give a political answer because there is no pound for pound. People want to sit around and talk about their pound for pound. It doesn't exist. You want to figure it out. Let's get in the cage. A few of us will enter it regardless of weight class, and we can just figure this damn thing out. But all these guys that want to be pound for pound, none of them want to actually step up in a tournament. Let's just all fight and figure it out. So it is a political answer. You want to go round and around in circles? We're still never going to know. The bottom line is John Jones will show up and kick his ass right now.
Verdum?
John Jones is, yeah, he'd kick his ass. It wouldn't even be a problem. Daniel Cormier, go up and kick his ass. It's the heavyweight class. He's a tough guy. It's a wimpy weight class. It always has been. If you're a good athlete and you're heavyweight, you go into the NFL. You don't go into cage fighting. The weight class sucks, and I don't have respect for it. So there, you want the real answer? You just got it.
You just got mad at me.
I am mad. I'm mad about pound for pound. It's not you. It is
infuriating. I didn't ask pound for pound.
Have people sit around and talk about pound for pound. I guess you didn't say pound for pound. You said, is he the greatest of all time?
Ass.
That there's no way to prove it. In my opinion, and I'm an expert on this.
You're a jerk.
In my opinion, Sugar Ray Leonard kicks Floyd Mayweather's butt. In my opinion, back when boxing was real, and people actually boxed in this country. More than three gyms in the whole country had boxing. Floyd Mayweather never would have made it through the horsemen. I don't think he beats Hagler, Hearns, Duran, or Leonard. But I can't prove it. That's why it's so annoying when people talk about these lists that don't exist.
You know what you are? You're a jerk. That was very rude of you. You're a jerk.
It wasn't rude of me. That was good TV. You'll thank me later. Louder with Crowder. Check him out on Twitter, everybody.
Do you remember that, though? Tom Cruise when he got
buy
supported?
A t-shirt. ChaleSonnen.com.
Do you remember when Tom Cruise did that with the reporter who squirted the water on him? It's like, hey, now why would you do that? You're a jerk. That's what
I don't remember.
You're a
that.
Big,
I remember
you're
the,
a big jerk.
I remember the Christian Bale moment, and I'll tell you this. I'm on Christian Bale's side of that.
I understand
Christian
it.
Christian Bale was right.
Do I come out of your set and tear your lights down? Well, you know what the funniest part is in that? I don't know about you. This is what I find is the funniest part, because it's all audio, right? So it's a theater of the mind, and that's what this is, you know, in radio. I have a connection to radio in that sense. He's sitting there, and he's yelling at the guy, right? So he's just in his tirade, and everyone thinks that's the funny part. It's not the funny part. And Jared will have to bleep this. And he goes, at one point he goes, do I go then? Tear down your f***ing lights? Answer me! There's a stop. And then you hear, I'm gonna kick your f***ing ass. And he goes, and you hear him shuffling. So you know the guy just gave him a look. Cause he, answer me! I'm gonna kick your f***ing ass. And you see, like, you hear people, like, grabbing him. Have you heard the whole audio?
I've heard the whole thing, but I didn't know it almost turned violent.
Oh, you can!
I remember when the guy started firing back at him. Eventually, the guy had enough, and the guy's ego, his ego, kicked in too. And he, you know.
Well, I just thought it was so funny because it's like there's a moment where you know it went from verbal to we have a problem on our hands. You know, we've got a guy, Christian Bale, who couldn't do a push-up when he did The Machinist before this. He has every single anabolic steroid known to man cycling through his veins so he can be believable in this role, and a key grip just pissed him off. We have some problems. You've heard the Mel Gibson tapes with his
Oh, yeah.
The best part of that, Jared and I talk about that we quote it all the time, where he's yelling the most obscene things, right? The most profane things. And by the way, he may be a horrible racist and anti-Semite, but the fact is when you are furious and livid, you are just saying whatever you can to hurt someone. You know what I mean?
Right.
If it's a black person, you're going to say whatever you can to hurt that person. Some people who have rage problems. Or if it's your wife, you know, just like a teenager saying, I hate you, you know, to your parents. You don't mean it. And I think there was some of that there, and I think there was a guy who was pushed. Not excusing him, just to be clear. Not excusing any of it. But at one point, he's yelling and he's cussing and he goes, you have no soul! You have no effing soul! And he stops. But I will give you one more chance. Because you know he wants to salvage it.
I don't remember that, but you are right about that. You know, that's another thing. You know, that's a new thing in America to go around and start labeling somebody a racist or all these things. It's like, now, hold on a second. If a guy is a racist, he'll let you know. You don't get to tell him. He'll let you know.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean he didn't make some insensitive comment. I remember when Kramer went through, I keep referencing Seinfeld. Do you remember when Michael Richards played Kramer, went through that?
Well, I can tell you some insight there. My mom was his wardrobe stylist at the Just for Laughs, and he would throw up before he went on stage. He's not a stage actor. He wasn't comfortable with it to begin with.
And he's also a terrible comedian. He's not funny. He was at a comedy club. He was coked out of his mind, and he got offended, and he tried to hurt the guy's feelings. And if he would have just come back and said that and said, listen, I'm not a very good comic. I was very uncomfortable. You embarrassed me, and I tried to hurt your feelings. If he would have just been that open, it would have gone away. And it was the truth. You know, the truth will always set you free in those spots. But instead, he, you know, he goes around and around, and he's still off TV to this day.
What were you saying,
well, we talked about this recently. We talked about the difference between, you know, anger as opposed to alcohol. Alcohol kind of acts as a truth serum in a lot of ways. But anger is not quite saying that you don't always speak the truth of how you feel when you're angry. You just speak
Just hurtful things.
The most hurtful things is generally what comes out, not necessarily a reflection of who you are.
Yeah, it's like you don't drink and then just start hating the blacks. It doesn't happen. Like, what did you? Why don't you Samuel Adams? Did you have?
If you're pissed, you're gonna.
Yeah, if someone
you're gonna say some things, they're gonna end up on some magazine tomorrow.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Like, you know, my wife when she got really mad one time, you're off. She just said something because she knew it would like flip my lid because I always try and be very chivalrous and open the door for her or something. And she just like, you know, and she knew she was wrong in the argument. Bill Burr talks about this. And so she just said like, you are a sexist, and just, you know, my head just exploded and she just knew it was what would throw me off the wall upset because it's completely untrue. And she knows, like, I bend over backwards. And then afterwards she was, I'm sorry. You wouldn't shut up. And you probably have this problem with your wife. You know, you're very vocal. You're very verbal, and that can intimidate a woman. She's like, I just needed to say something that I knew would upset you to get you to hear me. And it, sure. It worked. Kramer, though, what I thought was so funny about that is what's even worse, Chael. Like, you just got pissed at me and, you know, you stuck the landing. He tried to feather it out, which makes it worse, where he says these horrible racist things, and then the crowd, and he's just sitting there like, oh, this shocks you. This sure. shocks you. And it just makes it so much more uncomfortable. It's like, leave! Just get off the stage.
Just go. Oh, there were so many ways to repair it right there. You know, if you're on stage as a comedian, you can get, there's nothing off limits. You can, and that's widely accepted. Same thing with movie and TV. You know, you can go play these different parts, and we all just kind of accept it. Now, there is a rule in comedy that you can do it as long as it's funny. However, it would have just been, hey, a joke went bad. You know, he stayed with it. He went on his repair tour the next night and made things worse. He should have told the truth. Listen, man, he didn't have to admit he was coked up. He could have left that out, but he should have said, I'm a crappy comic. Okay, I was down there working for free on an open mic trying to restore my career. I was very self-conscious about it, which is why I did the blow in the back. The guy hurt my feelings, and I tried to hurt his. The end.
That's a good point. Have you seen Jerry Seinfeld though talking about comedy recently? He won't do colleges because they're too PC?
No, I didn't know that.
Oh, go to ladderwithcrowder.com. Seriously, we actually do news, and we covered it twice before anyone else was covering it. And he said, you know, it was actually very funny if you watch the clip. He says, you know, the thing is you can just get a feel from the audience when you say something. And I had this bit about everyone talk. You know, they all have their iPad because they're so important. And my bit was, well, yeah, you can tell by the way you scroll like a gay French king. And you could see the audience. What do you mean gay? What does he mean gay? What are you trying to say gay? Like it offended gay French kings. And there was a rebuttal issued by a guy at Huffington Post as to why comedy can only touch on sociological issues if it's culturally sensitive. And the end game was basically this liberal at HuffPo was saying, you can only do social commentary in your comedy if you agree with me. So even Seinfeld has come out now and said comedy is not the realm of free speech like it used to be. That is shutting down. I mean, I've been banned from colleges. I think we talked about this for Muhammad jokes.
Wow. No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, Muhammad's an ass.
You've been thrown out of better places than that, though, Stephen. you really have.
I think your house. I think you threw me out of your house. What was that place we went where we had food and you said the joke was the service is so bad? You were like, you have to go here. But it wasn't. The waitress was very sweet.
Yes, McMenamin's. No, it's terrible food and terrible service, and they've been around forever. I really do believe that's like their gimmick. They are awful. Their prices are fair, but the service and the food is lousy. But they should almost put it on their menu. My wife believes it too. We really think truly that it's part of their gimmick. It's that bad.
Do you still tip really well if they're that bad?
Oh no, you still tip. I mean, I don't know why anyone goes. It's terrible. They're rude to you, and the food sucks. And it's one of the longest standing restaurants in my community.
And you took me there first.
Yeah, McMenamin's. We don't have a whole lot of choices out here in West Summerlin. They have a population of 39,000. But yeah, man, McMenamin's pub, garbage.
You're gonna be a fun dad. You know why?
Garbage. Eat there now. I'll see you down there.
I'll let you go, but I don't. You probably don't remember this. I have weird memories for things. First off, I remember a hilarious story. You were there with, I forgot your grappling coach, the triangle guy, huge guy.
Neil Melanson.
Neil, you had a hilarious story about Jeff Munson that I'm sure you probably can't tell.
I have a ton on Jeff Munson. Jeff Munson is about to get Russian citizenship. Did you see this? I'm not kidding.
Yeah, you know, it's one of those things people are like, well, would you say it to his face? The guy's a dumbass. The guy has no idea what he's talking about. He claims to be a socialist, anarchist, and he claims that they're not opposed to each other. And people are like, would you say it to his face? He'd kick your ass. You want to talk about steroids? Okay. If I get on the cycle that Jeff Munson has been on, he walks around about 240. I guarantee you, if I take those chemicals, I'm not saying he wouldn't beat the crap out of me. He absolutely would. I'm 255, probably with 4% lower body fat. I know people who train with Jeff Munson on a regular basis. Let's not act here like, you just look that way. It's just hard work.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, and Jeff Munson would not kick your ass. He's open to debate. He's got his own views, but he does not shun people that don't agree with him, which is most of the free world, all of America and most of the free world.
Except
in
Russia.
But he is a very reasonable and calm guy. He's got this whatever going on, and he truly is going to Russia. He's going to become a citizen, I assume, live there. But no, he would not lash out and kick your ass. If you ever see him and you want to debate him, it would be no problem. A very calm guy.
I wouldn't call him a dumbass. I'll just say that here. I remember this, and then we'll leave you this. We were driving in your car with Neil, and you were telling us Jeff Munson story. It was a little uncomfortable. I wasn't talking that much because I didn't know you very well. And you were going, so, Steven, you hungry? You want anything? And it was like that moment of Young Frankenstein. I said, no, I'm good. He said, you sure? We got a Five Guys. We got a McDonald's. It's new here. I don't know how long it's been here, but, everyone's really big on the Five Guys. I'd rather go to McDonald's if it comes down to it. You sure you don't want anything? And I said, no, I'm good. And then, we were still driving and you go, milkshake? Anything? I don't know why. It was like the, Young Frankenstein. Ovaltine? Nothing! But you were trying to
I thought you should have something. It had been a long day. I wanted to make sure that you had food. I didn't want you to not eat because, you were still, like, feeling out the area.
That was very nice of you, but I remember that. I remember there was a pause and, milkshake? You want a shake? And I was like, well, I don't even know. McDonald's still makes milkshakes. But you're a milkshake guy.
I like milkshake. I could go for one right now.
Oh, good for you. We'll let you go do that. So, your call. Who wins the Republican primary since you were Mr. Politics?
Donald Trump.
You
Donald
think he
Trump
wins.
If he stays in it. Yeah, and I could be embarrassed on this. I mean, I know I admit that I am every 4 years and he pulls out. That may be the case, too. He's got to submit all of his paperwork in the next 30 days. We'll see if he does it. I'm clinging to this. I think that he will win if he runs. If he doesn't, this is a two-man race. It's between Jeb Bush and Rand Paul.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you, Chill. I'm sorry to have taken you so off course, and hopefully we'll still get you back. And
I love it. Take me off course. There's no course. This is the internet. We do whatever we want. Louder with Crowder.
Yeah,
go
actually.
Get yourself a T-shirt, ChailSunda.com. Oh, and Steven, an interview with us would be remiss if I did not include one thing.
No. Well, hold on. I'm the one who gets to sign off here.
Kaboom.
Ugh. Hey, if you liked this interview with Chael, there's something wrong with you, but you can subscribe by clicking my face or watch some of these other good interviews or just funny short videos to my left. If you don't want to, we can't force you to, but I'm a pretty big guy and Chael is a professional fighter. And listen, with the internet, it's just as easy to find your address.